for all he's doing. And the song service usually introduces the message God has on Wednesday that resides in this race. And we're going to say about that. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And again, while you're turning, welcome all the visitors. We have several with us this morning. We welcome you. If you haven't filled out a visitor's card, if you'll get one from the back of that pew and fill it out. If you need anything, the ushers are in the back. We've got so much to be thankful for in these days. I'm sure all of us spend probably too much time whining and looking at the situation today. And if you let all that worry you, it'll get you weak. It'll get you out of the will of God. We have to look at the positive side because the Word of God is positive. And Hebrews chapter 12 is going to get us connected and get us started on the things in this race before us. There is a race before us. The Bible indicates that. And we have to follow His directions in this race. Now, the world would tell us, and society would tell us that we're losers. But God says we're winners. So let's look what God says about our part in the race. And that's what we're going to speak about this morning, our part in the race. We look around and the world and everybody would try to tell us we're on the losing side. But no, we already won. We just have to make sure that we do our part and we crown Him King and Lord in our lives. And we let nothing hinder us or deceive us or tear down what He is trying to do. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 through 7. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And we have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he received. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? So our part in this race that God has placed us in is for not the faint, not the weary, but those that can endure to the end. And I think every one of us should decide that for our part, we'll do the best that we can possibly do. Look at those in the races. I want to concentrate this morning on the race that you've seen on TV. You may have run yourself. You may have witnessed others run like a marathon. Not just a marathon, but a relay race marathon. And remember in the relay race marathon, let's just turn your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes and read one verse of scripture that'll help us get sewing. And the race of life, this marathon, there's a lot of runners. And on your team, there's four. And let's consider the fact that those three before you, usually in the relay race, the side that you're on, puts their best runner, perhaps, in the very front of the race. In our position, that would be Christ Jesus. We just read in Hebrews how he ran the race. Victoria. And so that encourages the second phase of the race. Remember now, as this race is being run, the relay races and Olympics and others, it's a marathon, and it goes around the stadium, sometimes for many miles. And there's one place where the runner stands over here that's going to run next, and he has a certain distance. He gets started, and he sees a runner coming. And they have something to pass off. This runner crushes, ran his race. And without looking back, he holds a baton. And this next runner, which is the second legged runner, comes up behind him and receives this. Now, a baton is like a metal tube. But in our case, it's the living word of God. He has given us. And then the second phase and the third phase, they do likewise. But you and I this morning, let's consider us. We are in the last leg. We look ahead of us, and we see Christ Jesus. He endured the cross. He suffered the shame. He won the battle over death, hell, and the grave. So the second person and the second phase of the race and the third, they come and do likewise. Now remember, who's running against us? The world, the things of the world, the devil and all his crowd, they're running. We're going to be victorious. We've already heard the song. We know the scripture. We're winners. But what's our part? Let's look together at what our part is in this last phase of the race. Let's read that verse that we're going to read in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. So God lets us know that you may be old, you may be young, you may be weak, you could even be in a wheelchair, or you might not be, but God has given you a portion in this race. Remembering the previous runners, Christ Jesus, and other people, maybe the person that led you to the Lord. Or in your case, it may be that you're not saved this morning, and God wants you to enter into the race. And remember, Christ Jesus, the star of the race, Satan's tried to hinder, to try to tear down. Let me tell you a true story. We used to play baseball when I was in school at Spring Creek in Madison County. And one of the games we'd play every year was over at Marshall. We played them on, there was the island there, and the French Broad River ran around this baseball field. And sometimes a foul ball or a home run would go in the river and you'd have to get a new baseball. Well, I was thinking back. Fortunately, we won our little game. It wasn't much. It wasn't because we were great hitters, but we had great pitchers. And I wasn't one of them either. But they had great pitchers. But there's a story that one time there was a bunch of All-Stars, the Madison County All-Stars, playing the another team. And they kept running out of the balls because the other team got the bat first. So someone was rushed back over to the hardware store in Marshall, give us another dozen baseballs. And pretty soon they went back and they said, I don't have but a few more. What's happening over there? He says, well, the score is 17 to nothing in their favor. So that don't sound good. And the person that was the person sitting over there said, that's okay. We haven't got in the bat yet. And so the devil thinks he's won the battle. Hey, but God trusted you. And God trusted me in this generation to run the race that is set before us. How are we going to do this? Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And these verses will tell us and instruct us, among other things, but we're going to concentrate on these two verses, how we run our last leg of the race. Remember, Christ Jesus, the captain of our salvation, the one that set the race in order, the one that placed you and placed me in this. Now remember, we're just now entering the race, whether you've been saved 10 years or 20, but see, this is today. And let's look at if we have another day, we're in a race. What's accomplished in the past? We hope, we pray, we trust, we've been true to God. We know the world is against us, but we know it's not to the fast, it's not to the swift, it's not to the strong, and it definitely isn't to the faint-hearted. We must enter in this race knowing that we're victors in Christ Jesus. Weak in the flesh, of course, But the scripture will help us this morning understand and realize what God wants us to be as we are in this race. The baton has been passed to us, and it's up to us to run our leg in the race. Whatever it is God wants us to do. And we ought to do, because others have done great, and they have positioned us in God's position. We ought to be willing to be the best we can be. A lot of people in this race, they're faint-hearted. Oh, I'm in the race, but it's hard. Sure, it's hard. A lot of preparation, a lot of prayers, a lot of sacrifices along the way. But hey, God trusted you and me in this last leg of the race. He's soon coming. I don't think there's going to be another leg of the race. Maybe another day, another week, another month, another year. But we're in this race. Some of us may be alive when the Lord comes to take us home. I want to be found running the race with patience. I want to be found running the race with a determination in my heart that I'm going to be the best I can possibly be. I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to waver. I'm not going to look to see what others are doing, because God has entrusted me. God has entrusted you to take that baton, that place, that position in your life, the Word of God, and make much of the Word of God. Let's read the text together in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We'll look at three things, perhaps four if we have time this morning, about this race. First of all, we ought to be committed Christians, and a committed Christian has a characteristic about them. Let's look at three or four things about that characteristic that God expects you to be a committed Christian in this race. Look at the text. First of all, he describes brethren. He's talking to members of the family. This is a family affair, don't you see? The family of God. I love that song, Part of the Family. Brother Randy sings, we're part of the family. I wish you could sing that, the invitation. The family of God. Brethren. See, the Lord has trusted us as part of his family, if you're saved. And if you're not saved, he wants you to be part of that family, because he has a desire that none would perish, but all come to the knowledge of the truth and saving power. So he says, brethren, he is the captain of our salvation. We've already seen in Hebrews chapter 12. His part, he ran the race, and he passed before us. And he has given us the opportunity of taking his word, taking his salvation, and making much of the Word of God. He trusted us. He has given us that which we need. He's given us a place of worship. He's given us a free nation. We don't have to worry today, thank God, that we have to kindly hide. In fact, we're on the internet. People are watching at home that can't be here. God has given us this free society. Brethren, families, make much of the Word of God and the opportunities God has set before us. So fathers, we ought to give our children all the instruction, not just verbally. My father was a great man, six foot, a man of the woods, I mean a strong man. But I could count on my fingers the number of lectures he ever gave me. In fact, I don't remember one. But I remember watching his life. I remember him watching him run that race with patience. And I just followed him. See, Christ is the captain of our salvation. He bought us. He paid for us. He shed the blood. He paid the price. And we have his word that we follow. But God gave me an earthly father. And he led him in the things of God. Well, fortunately for him, he had a father that led him. And fortunately for my grandfather, he had a man that led him. See, a lot of people in the race already, so my dad was given the baton, so to speak. And his job was to run it, and as long as I was home until he died at almost 95, he was the one I looked to, earthly speaking, and I followed him. And I want to ask you a question. You're in this race. The great cloud of witnesses in heaven looking down. The angels, Christ Jesus looking down. A lot of people in this world, your relatives, your family, your friends, they're looking on to see and observe how you're running this race. I've told this story before, but I love marathons, and I love reading about races. Never have been able to attend one my whole life, but I sure enjoy it because the Bible talks much about races. And there was a certain man that was running race. It was marathons. He wasn't in a relay. It was just a marathon. He had run it for years, usually won. But they interviewed him one day before a race and said, what is the one thing that would probably deter you, distract you, or cause you to lose this race? Because you're always a winner. He said, well, if it rains, I'm a dunner. I just can't stand to run in the rain. If it's sunny, if it's cold, that's okay. But if it rain comes, it discourages me. And sure enough, he was ahead by a long distance in this particular race. Going to win it as usual. But the rain came. And he had already determined in his heart, I don't like the rain, I don't like to run the rain. And he started losing the race. And he lost the race. And Satan knows your weakness. He knows my weakness. And he will throw before you everything, every fiery dart he can to keep this family matter. He will try to tear your families down. He will try to tear church families down. He will try to discourage you in this race. Because remember, you run this race with patience. And you're going to be victorious. Other people are watching your life, how you run this race, how you act when disappointing time comes. How you act when the tragedy comes. Do you hang your head or do you look up? Because you can't really understand and know all the reasons things happen to you. But you know one thing. God entered you in this race. He trusted you. And he says, brethren. Look what he says. Brethren, I beseech you, brethren. I beg you. I inquire of you. I earnestly ask you, brethren, family, that you run this race with patience, that you have a desire in your heart to be the very best you can be, and it begins with the family. But look what else he says. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Body. Not only the family, but the full. We live in a life society today that seems like they're partial, you know. There's rationing, and I remember times in my life, and some of you are old enough too, where you'd stand in line with your automobile for several minutes and sometimes an hour, and you would get to the gas pump because there was a shortage of gasoline. And there's a ration. So we're used to being half full. But he says, your body, full, everything. Did Christ Jesus cut that short? He gave himself. He gave his life. He gave us full redemption, full and free. And I kind of get tired of being half-hearted and others being half-hearted. Well, if I have time, if I have the occasion, I'll live for God. If I have time, I'll pray and seek his face. No, he wants us to run this race with a full desire in our heart. And the world will do everything it can to separate families, to destroy you. But he said, your body, your whole self. Remember, we're three parts. We're a body. We have a body, but we're really a soul. That soul is inhabited in a body with a spirit that longs for God. Now, when I got saved, my soul was saved, my spirit was saved, but I'm left in a body. Body is still carnal. I don't care if you're saved. Praise God for that. But you won't have a complete salvation until he comes. And now I'm going to heaven. But God wants us to accept the fact that we're still in that wicked body. It gets frail. It gets sick. It gets very used to failure, does it not? But he said, I ask you that you present your body, the whole you. He's already got my soul and my spirit, but he wants my body to endure this race, to look to him for all things, and not let things of the world distract me and discourage me. Half-heartedness. Remember what in Revelations he did? Those people that had half-heartedness, he spewed them out of his mouth. God wants you and I, as we're in this race, and we are in the race, the last leg of the race, no doubt, whether you're 10 or 20 or 40, you're in a race that may be the last leg, to let others see Christ in you, the hope of glory, to run it with patience, the whole you, nothing short of all God wants you to be. But look, thirdly, we're talking about a life of commitment, Christian characteristics that he wants us to have. And then he says, final. Look what he says in the rest of this chapter. I present, that you present. You do it. When I got saved, it wasn't, well, I'm going to try the salvation, and if it doesn't work, I'll go back in the world. Wasn't that at all. Because when we present ourselves unto him, salvation, we're giving him everything. I present myself to you. And that word represents the fact that it's a one time for all times. There's no turning back. You see, in this race, this last leg of the race, you may get tired and weary and sit down on God, but you're not going to retract and go back to the beginning. No way. I ask you that you present yourself, because it is a final decision. I love my father and mother so much, and I don't know, I wasn't born yet when this happened. But no doubt, and I talked to Dad about it, there was a time in his life when he made a decision, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Have you ever made that commitment for you and your house? Joshua made that commitment. It's a final presentation. Before God, I'll enter this race. I have received the baton, my salvation. I'm running for God. It's final. There's no turning back. Therefore, it's about family, family of God. It's full and it's free. And that presentation that we have been given, it is before God. And the world's looking, God's looking, I'm looking. And we ought to run it with patience. It is a characteristic of a Christian that we do that. But fourthly, the characteristic, it's faith. Let's look at verse 2. It's a faith journey. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed. Because the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable. Look at that word, acceptable. It means faith. The faith that he gave us is acceptable. James talks about that faith. Without faith, no man can please God. It's acceptable to him. As we're running this race, the family affair, it's a full affair, it's a final affair, because God has given us the presentation of salvation and we present ourselves before him. So now it's a faith journey. It means the just live by faith. And faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God. So this faith journey is looking to him, author and finisher of our faith, that's set before us in this final leg. The characteristic of a Christian is what he wants us to have. Others are watching. They were first called Christians in the Word of God because they acted Christ-like. And today we have, you hear a lot about religion. You don't hear a whole lot from the news society about Christians. I wonder why. Is it because they don't see Christ in us? So now it's religion done this. And religion done that. But he told us this faith journey, this last leg should be a characteristic of a Christian life, and he is the one that calls a characteristic. Not only that, but this communion with God has to be the second thing. As you're running this race, remember, you run it with patience, you run it full, you run it free, you run it with faith. He gives us the faith. And the only way you want to do that is to have that communion with God. Let's look at the verse again. Be not conformed to this world, but by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Go back and read the first verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, for the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Because, you see, he gave us life. We're in this world, but we're not of the world. The Word of God is living. It's a living document. The Word of God is so steadfast and sure in our lives. And this Christ that lives in us, it's a living thing. Your body may get weak. We have committed and presented our body before Him and our soul and our spirit. But sometimes in this journey of life, we have to have communion. Not only communion with our fellow brothers and sisters is very important. That's why he told us, fill not the assembly yourselves in the manner of somehow. We come to church because he told us to come to church and present ourselves unto him. That's worship. But then this journey of life, when the world is against you, and it always is, when the difficulties come and the rainstorms and the clouds and all that comes, there's communion with God. No matter how you are in the race, where you are in the race, we can always have that communion with God because it's a living sacrifice. It's something you presented one time for all time, and he wants to have communion with us. Every day of our life should start with prayer, communion with him. Lord, I don't know what you got for me today, but here I am. When I go to hospital and visit, can't go anymore, but used to when I go to the hospital and visit, after I visit the person I was wanting to go visit, I would usually, I always look at my watch because you're always strained with time. Lord, is there somebody up here at this big hospital that don't have a pastor, don't have a friend, and maybe aren't even communing with him? Is there someone, let me somehow walk into somebody that I could be a help by? And there's people like that in this journey of life, and God wants to use you in this race. You're running a race for him. Part of that race is helping other people. Communion with him leads to communion with other people that you can help them along the journey of life. See, a lot of people are falling by the wayside. It would astound us how many people that started the race with God and got discouraged and not only slowed down, but absolutely quit. Just quit serving God. I know some of them were probably not saved, but I don't know whether they were or not. Only God knows that. But one thing I do know, people that started the race in motion, many of them are gone. But along the journey of life, as we're running the race, he tells us to look ahead. There's other people that's faint and weary, that don't have maybe the close walk with God as you do. But he tells us our life ought to be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice committed to him. Not dead. Dead to self only, but not dead in Christ Jesus. We ought to die to selves. Remember what Jesus told on the great message? He said that, James said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But along the journey of life, he says we have to, blessed are the poor in spirit. You have to become poor in your spirit so he can rekindle his spirit in you. And that's communion with God. Not only that, but let's look. The third thing we need to do is be not conformed. Conformation to the world. Be not conformed to the world. Everywhere you look today, it would discourage you if you let it. You listen to certain music, and they call it religious music. But I love the songs you sing here. It's wonderful. I don't know a lot about music, but I know when it's right. I know when it has connection to worship. And when it has connection to worship, it seems like the music flows just perfectly synonymous with the words. I have heard, and I have to turn my radio off. I just can't take it. Some of the music you hear, they're singing. That's wonderful. The words sound good. But they could be playing anything you want to, and it has no match or no correlation. You know, there's something about the words and the music. The songwriter was great. But if you notice some of the songs anymore that you hear on the radio, that music's not in sync with the words. It has no melody. It has no rhythm. And they could be playing anything else they wanted to, and it wouldn't make any difference. You wouldn't even know the difference. I turn it off myself. Seems though music has changed a lot, not completely, but a lot. And that's religion for you. Not only the music, but the methods. God has in His precious word the methods that we're supposed to abide by. The methods are live a life pleasing before Him. And when others are hurting, we pray for them. We have communion with God and ask Him how we can be a help. I preached a message one time. I would to God, and I don't have notes of it, and I don't have a copy of it. But God gave me a message in the old church some 25 years ago. Help without hurting. And there's a way. We Christians want to help people. But I've noticed along the journey of life, the way I try to help somebody may hurt something else. And I can't figure that out within myself, and you can't either. But there's a way, and the only way is God's way of helping in every situation in your life as you run this race. There's a way of helping without hurting anything. And you've got to be in tune with God to do that. And the only way you can have is communion with God. And then we see that you can't be conformed to the world and let that happen. Be not conformed to the world. Confirmation is mighty important. If you're conformed to the things of God, to the music of God, making melody in your heart, that's what we're supposed to do. And measure up music to that. Is that music you're listening to making melody in your heart, pleasing to God, and it starts a sense of worship? You've got to be careful. Sometimes it's skin deep. It gives you a fleshly thrill, but it doesn't penetrate through the skin. It'll never get to the heart. And that's what he said, making melody in your heart. Not making melody in your feelings or your skin, but making melody in your heart. It's got to sink through the body to the heart. You get it in the heart, and then God is really in your life. The race is not to the swift, it's to those that are conformed to the precious word of God. Lastly, I want to look at that next word. Let's read the whole thing again in verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Well, if we're not conformed to the world, what are we conformed to? He tells us. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The last thing we have to have is consecration. We're concentrated. We're set apart. We're not conformed to the world, but we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Where did that come from? The precious word of God. Through the instructions God gave us. Through the commitment, the characteristics of a Christian. By the precious word of God that keeps us in communion with Him. By the word of God that helps us understand and know that He is Lord, and the world tries to discourage, distract, tear down. But we're not conformed to anything the world's got to offer, but we're transformed, consecrated on the Word of God. How are we going to run this race? It's set before us. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 gives us what we need to know, how to run this race. Brother Randy, could you come sing that song? Wonderful opportunity this morning. You say, well, I know something about the race now. Well, today's the day. We may not have tomorrow, but today would be a good day to make sure our call and election is sure, steadfast, unmovable, and all the things that God has given us, that we can run this race. Christ was the best He could be because He was perfect. He wants you and he wants me in this race to be the best we can possibly be. This race that was set before us, be not conformed, but be transformed. Would you stand? Altars open. If God put on your heart to be more steadfast, to be more concentrated, more yielded, more pleasing. Remember, others are watching. It's a family affair. It's a full affair. It's a final affair. And it's a faith journey. Characteristics of a child of God. Brother Randy.